So if you would turn with us, we're going to read the 26th, the 27th verse of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans and the gospel according to St. Matthew in the 6th chapter. Romans chapter number 8, verse 26 and verse 27. Scripture reads, Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. In Matthew chapter number 6, verse number 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father, knowing what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And as I tried to study and pray this morning, and y'all are probably used to uncovering the table at this point, but I don't feel it's necessary at this time. If you will, give me some liberty. But as I began to pray this morning and see the direction that God would have me to go this morning, I tell you what, the Lord burdened me that the church needed to hear about prayer, and I could not move myself from it this morning, and I feel like that there's a need in the house today that needs to be met, and I want you to understand that the Scripture tells us, Jesus told us, he said, whatsoever is bound on the earth shall be bound in heaven, but he said, whatsoever is loosed on the earth shall be loosed in heaven. And when Jesus was here among us, he talked to us about prayer, and he told us, he said, prayer is the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And listen, we as Christians today, and if you're not a Christian here this morning, I want to tell you something. The best and only way we can get a hold of God is through prayer. Amen. Saved or lost alike, good deeds and living a good life and trying to be righteous and trying to be this preconceived mold that Christianity has built for us today that would justify us living to a certain standard. Listen to me. If you've never prayed, if you've never sought the Son of God, if you've never prayed, then you're not saved. And so many people today, listen, they say, well, preacher, I have prayed the words that the preacher told me to pray, or I've done this, or I've done this, and this, stipulations that have been laid down to me. And friends, listen, that's what we need to disregard in this day and time which we live in. We don't need to do things because that's the way it's supposed to look like, and we don't need to do things because that's the way it's supposed to feel like. And listen, I've said this lots of times. When somebody tells their preacher a calling, or they come to the altar to be saved, and listen, we are instantaneously the worst ones to execute judgment, because we say it doesn't look or it doesn't sound like it should. Amen. Let me tell you a story. The Bible said that Jesus was at the pool of Bethesda one day, and listen now. The scripture said that they was lame, they were hurt, they were healing, they were blind, they were taken by the palsy. They was every manner and every sort laid around the pool of Bethesda. And the Bible says, listen, that at the time of the troubling of the water, that the angel would come down and trouble the water. And the Bible said the first man or the first woman, whoever it was, that was lame, that was put into the pool, was healed. Amen. Listen, now this is, we as the church, we have this preconceived notion of how things are supposed to be and how they've got to be in this line and in this order. But listen, what we disregard most often is that Jesus is here amongst us. Amen. So listen, the Bible said that the first one, or the first man to be helped into the pool, that he would be made whole. And here we see Jesus. Jesus showed up in the midst of them, and the Bible said as he mingled around, listen, the Bible said there was five porches full of people, and as they came there, they came to view the troubling of the waters, listened by the great angel, and the Bible said that as Jesus passed by, listen, he looked down the, and he seen a man that was lame, the Bible said, and he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" Listen, and the man responded, he said, "I have no man to help me into the pool." And Jesus simply said, "Rise up, take thy bed, and walk." You see, it don't have to go how we think it, how we perceive that it should go. It has to go like Jesus intends for it to be. Amen. So friends, listen, I thought about this morning, and listen, I promise I'm not going to tie you up but just a few minutes. It says in verse number 26, it says, "Likewise," listen, and we'll get into the bread and the wine, the importance of this to that in just a minute, but it says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought." Ain't you glad today that the third person indwelling, listen, the indwelling third person of the Godhead that lives, rules, and reigns within us, the Son of God, the Spirit, the breath of life, the eternal breath of life that lives in us, that are saved by the grace of God. Aren't you glad that when we have infirmities and sickness and disease, and listen, when we have troubles, trials, tribulations, and we come to God and we say, "God, I don't know what to do, nor do I know where to go." Ain't you glad? Listen, if you've never been there before in your life, there will come a place, a point in time in your life when you will encounter a situation in your life when you cannot, listen, you cannot even muster the words to pray. That's why I'm glad the Bible said in the book of Galatians in the 5th chapter, "Bear one another's burdens, in so doing you fulfill the law of Christ." Listen, here we see the encompassment of the church body. That's why he said, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is," because this is where we draw strength, where we draw our help. Hey man, listen, I'm going to tell you what, I feel the presence of God, don't you? Hey, listen today, I'm glad. I had a pastor, Brother Cecil Reeves, you know him, man. He always had a saying. He said, "You can break one stick easy, but it's hard to break a bundle." Amen. And I'm telling you, friends, listen. If we as the church of the living God, if we would humble ourselves before a holy and almighty God, pray, seeking, asking, knocking, and believing, God can do marvelous things that is beyond our magnification. Amen. But you know, listen to me. Listen, we've got to believe God for what we ask for. Amen. Listen to me. You've heard me say this. I'm not a lock, stock, and barrel Baptist. Amen. We've got to believe God. Believe Him. Amen. Listen, pray believing in Jesus' name. You can say amen. That's okay. Likewise, the Spirit
also helpeth our infirmities. Now, this is a promise to the saved now. For listen to this, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, listen, for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We are not even competent enough to be our own judges, but the Spirit knows what's best. Amen. Ain't you glad when we don't, listen, when we pray, listen, in Jesus, of the Beatitudes we find, listen, Jesus spoke many wonderful paradoxes that goes against the, listen, they go against all the grain of nature. Amen. He said, pray for your enemy. Well, nature tells us to hate our enemy. Pray for those who persecute you and use you and abuse you. Well, that, listen, that's a great paradox of mystery. Listen, we can't understand. We can't fathom these things. But listen, Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you. This is what he spoke after the great, after the Last Supper. He said, a new commandment give I unto you. Love one another as I have loved you. Friends, listen, Jesus wants to show, well, listen, he wants us to show compassion as he showed compassion. You see, the cruel cross of Calvary, it's not there as an example of an endurance. Calvary is a demonstration and a display to us that are saved. It is a display of compassion. Amen. Listen, when Moses was up on Mount Sinai, God gave Moses the 10 commandments of the law. He said, these are the commandments. If you break the commandments, not all of them, but he said, if you break one of them, you've broken them all. And he said, this is the righteousness of God. If you don't live to the righteousness of God, there is judgment and there is hell to pay. Amen. That's what God told Moses. And Moses trembled and quaked in the very presence of God. And the Bible says, listen, you can read that in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. The Bible said, and so exceeding and fearful was the sight. Listen, the children of Israel said, we don't want to have nothing to do with it. You go handle it. But then in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans, on another hill, the commandments were fulfilled. You see, the commandments were given on Sinai and fulfilled on Calvary. Amen. Now listen to me. The commandments, the righteousness, and how you're supposed to live and what you're supposed to do. And if you don't fulfill the merits of the law, listen, there's judgment. And for those who don't receive that judgment, hell is waiting. Listen, that's what came on Sinai. But then we see the beautiful, wonderful, glorious picture of Calvary. Amen. Listen, where there was a man, the Bible said, the mediator, the man, Jesus Christ, listen, who his broken body hung upon an old rugged tree. Amen. Listen, as he hung upon that tree, he declared 7 utterances from that cross. Listen, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, as they had beaten him senseless. Listen, the Bible said in Isaiah, the scripture said that his visage was mired. They had literally beaten him unrecognizable. But Jesus hung on Calvary. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then he declared, listen, as he hung there on Calvary's tree that day, he declared, listen, there was a cry came. He said, Elahi, Elahi, lama sabachthani, which is to be interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Friends, listen to me. You see, there's a lot of people today, they say, well, why did he declare these things? But you see, the God of righteousness, the God of Sinai, had to separate himself from the Son of Calvary. Amen. And by separating the God of Sinai from the Son of Calvary, the Son of Calvary then fulfilled the law all the way back to Sinai. And that's why the disconnect had to be broken. Amen. That's what the word reconciliation means. That's what it is. It's a relationship that is once been severed but is now reunited. You see, there had to be a way to put Sinai and Calvary together. If you can't never put them together, there's no room for us. You see, that's the importance. Jesus said, he said, I came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. Why? Because the law is the righteousness of God. How are we saved? We are saved by the righteousness of God. Well, preacher, we can never live to receive or live a life that is worthy of the righteousness of God. You're absolutely correct. Amen. And I'm glad that you finally realized that. Amen. Because the only way we can get to Sinai is to go through Calvary. Amen. And the only way we can get to Calvary is by mercy. Amen. So he said in the book of Hebrews, in the 4th chapter, listen, he said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You see, you can't get to grace unless you first extended mercy. Amen. So ain't you glad? Listen, that's exactly what Calvary is. It's the mercy tree. God, I'll never be righteous. You're absolutely correct. Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, for it is the gift of God. You see, when Jesus Christ, he hung on Calvary and he declared, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That cry was on our behalf, not his. Do you understand that? That cry was made for us. Listen, it wasn't his sin that separated him from his Father. It was my sin. Then he cried, I thirst. Roman soldier took a stave, stuck it in a sponge, dipped it. The Bible says that he dipped it in a persuasion of vinegar. And that vinegar, more or less, was a narcotic that was given to those that were crucified. It was basically given to them to numb the pain. But you see, they did not understand. Christ was not thirsty for water. He was thirsty for his Father. Amen. Listen. He declared, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Then he declared, I thirst. Amen. And after he declared, I thirst, listen, the Father filled him, because then he said, it is finished. You see, the only way that we could get back to Sinai is through Calvary. And the only way we could get through Calvary is through a man named Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father unless he come by me. Amen. So listen, and we've already quoted this, and I promise I'll get back to this in just a minute. Amen. I can done tell by the looks on y'all faces, y'all was expecting something totally different today. But listen, as we make our approach, Ain't you glad the day you got saved? Listen, the day I got saved, and you've heard my testimony. I wasn't lost but about 10 minutes. But within that 10 minutes of time, within that short amount of time, which in my mind as an 8-year-old boy seemed like an eternity. But all the preaching that I had heard, all the prayers I had heard that had to this point never affected me. I heard my granddad. Where Roger sits, I sat right against the end of the bench, right beside my granddaddy. He was a deacon at Beulah Baptist Church. And I sat right beside granddaddy every Sunday morning. Preacher sat on this end, I sat on that end. I heard him preach every Sunday morning, every Sunday night. And when granddaddy would say amen, I'd say amen. But I never heard what he was saying. But I'm glad that there was one day, there was one day when I heard, not with these ears, but these ears heard the gospel. Amen. And when the gospel finds the ears of your heart, it gives life. Amen. That's what that stirring and that emotion. It's not you having a heart attack. That's the Spirit of God dealing with your soul. And I'd heard the preacher say, I'd heard mama say, I'd heard granddaddy say, when the Lord speaks, just go to the altar. Listen, you ain't got to pray no long, big, extravagant prayer. I do not personally have a road to Damascus testimony. I wasn't struck down. I wasn't lost for 5 years. I didn't see the clapping thunder and the flashing lights and all these extraordinary things. Some people testify. I did not see those things. I'm not calling you a liar. I'm just saying I didn't see them, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Glory to God, I didn't need them. All you've got to say is, Lord. Hey, listen, you remember what Samuel told Eli? He came to him, he said, what Eli told Samuel, Samuel came to Eli and he said, did you call for me? He said, I didn't call for you. He said, just go back to bed. Second time the Lord spoke to him, he came to him. He said, Eli, did you call for me? He said, I didn't call for you. I just perceived this in my mind. Eli, as he sent Samuel back to his room, or back to his bed, wherever it was in the tabernacle, he then perceived in his mind, he said, the Lord is speaking to him. Amen. And he told Eli, he told Samuel, he said, the next time you hear that voice, you say, speak, Lord, here am I. You see, when the Lord speaks, all we have to do is answer. That's why I try with every fiber of my being. Friends, listen to me. We don't have to meet this qualification, and we don't have to meet this criteria, and we don't have to dress, look like this, and look like this, and be here on this time, and do this, and we don't have this long list of stuff, that stuff that man has created. When Jesus walks on the scene, it's just like it was in the pool of Bethesda. He don't need the angel's help. He just declares, rise up. Up and walk. Amen. Yeah. Listen to the Lord. He'll never lead you wrong. I'm going to wind this up. I tell you what, if you're saved here this morning, I believe this is a word from God. If you're saved here this morning, I want you to leave God's house encouraged by the worth of prayer. Amen. Listen to me. You ever been to a military wedding? I had a cousin one time who was in the Marine Corps. And I tell you, I about had the awfulest fit you ever seen. Have you ever seen, the husband and wife after they're married in the Marine Corps, usually what they do, they stand outside the church. And in the foyer, and they're in their dress blues with swords on. And as the man and woman, as they make their way down the aisle, they begin to draw their swords one at a time. And they cross them in the air. And the bride and groom go underneath. And I thought to myself, now listen to me. There's so many people today that got this modern perception by, I guess, because all the cream cheese commercials, that the angels are just fluffy white things flying around us and sitting on the clouds and eating cheese. And but let me tell you something. They're the warriors of God. Amen. Listen, I'm glad when I fall on my knees in prayer before my Holy Father, I see these angels. Brother Michael, every time, listen, God shows it to me in my mind as they line up from my soul to the throne of glory. Angels, hand in hand, swords crossed as my faith gets my prayer to the throne. Guarding the saints of God. Amen. Listen, the Bible said that the devil was, he was the power of the principality of the powers of what? The air. You know, the Bible tells us one time that Elijah, he had a servant down there, if God will serve my memory to tell you. He had a servant one time. The Bible says that they encamped Israel. And Elisha didn't do anything. He just simply declared, he said, greater are they that are with us than they that are against us. And the servant, he could not fathom in his mind what the prophet was talking about. And the Bible said, and Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes might be opened. And the Bible said when the servant looked up on the hillside, behind the enemy were the angels of God, staggered and stacked, waiting and willing and ready, preparing themselves for the battle. You see, if you want to wage war against Satan, Christians, I'm telling you, the best thing we have is prayer. Somewhere down along the line, I got that. The closest experiences I've ever had with God is not in a church house. It's not preaching. It's out behind the house and that little rock and that little pine thicket I've got where me and God, listen, I'm telling you what, listen, I'd trade every church service I've ever been in for the experiences that me and God have had behind the house. Amen. You see, if you've never had an encounter with God, let me tell you this, and I don't know if I'll ever get done. Amen. Say amen. We got food downstairs. You ain't got to drive nowhere. And yes, probably getting cold, and that'll be okay too. Joshua, the Bible said, he wrestled with the angel all night long. Angel said, turn me loose and let me go. He said, I'm not turning you loose. Turn me loose. I ain't turning you loose. You see this conversation taking place in your mind. Let your mind think for a minute. Listen. And the angel said, turn me loose. He said, I ain't turning you loose. He said, turn me loose. I ain't turning you loose. Turn me loose. He said, I ain't turning you loose until you bless me. You see, that's the attitude some Christians need to get in the house of God. See, we come and we pray and we go and we don't believe and we wither and we wave. And the Bible says we're tossed about in the wind as chaff from the wheat, what the scripture said in the book of James. But you know what we need to do every once in a while? We need to come to the altar of God. We need to grab a hold of the horns of the altar saying, God, I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in until I hear from you. So often we come and we pray and we say, Lord, I hope you heard me. You want me to tell you the most liberating feeling you ever have in your life is when you get up from the altar, Brother Ronald, and say, I know God heard me. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind. Listen to this. I tell you, this is a beautiful passage of Scripture. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. As he hung there, the last utterance that he declared from Calvary was, Father, into thy hands, I commend my spirit. So when we, by faith through grace, when we approach the Son of God, who is now seated on the right hand of God the Father, who is the mediator and the intercessor for each and every one of us. So when we approach the Son of God and the Savior, the one who rectified, and who paid the ransom, and because of this, now we are united once again back to Sinai. So listen, when we by faith through grace, when we seek the Son, he then, the Father sees what the Son has done for us, and because the Son loves us, he imputes into us his righteousness. What is the Son's righteousness? Well, the Son's righteousness is fulfilled Sinai. So if the Son's righteousness fulfilled Sinai, then we have received the Son's righteousness. We're sealed by the Spirit of God. So listen, when I come to the day of death and I stand before the great day of judgment, I'm glad he don't see me. He sees his Son. And that is what this is about. I want to say this, and now I always do this everywhere I've ever been, and I didn't even get to preach on the Lord's Prayer. It's another place for another time, but I always do this before we ever even unveil the table. As much as I love the children of the church, if you've not been saved by the grace of God, and I say this with all the love in my heart, mamas and daddies, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, this is not for you. This is for those that are saved, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Mamas and daddies, this is the best opportunity you've ever had. When your children look to you and say, Mom and Daddy, why can't I partake of the bread and the wine? That's when you get to elaborate and explain to them what the cross of Calvary is. And one day when the Lord touches them and they know they need to be saved, and when they are saved by the grace of God, then they'll be able to experience and partake. Just as the children of Israel, after they carried the rocks across Jordan, said, what mean you by these stones? Listen, we need to have an answer. We need to have an answer. Listen, and listen. I would like to do this, and like I say, I always do this before I ever unveil the table. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. For whosoever shall eat of this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh to damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I want to, if they would allow this privilege to me, if they'd come to the piano, you don't have to sing a song, but I'd like for them to play a verse. And I want to give you this opportunity, if there's anything in your life that you need to fix, that you need, listen, the Bible said, let a man examine himself. If there's anything in your life you need to rectify, if you need to fix, if you need to go to somebody, if you need to go hug their neck, if you need to tell them you love them, if you just need to come up here and talk to the Lord.
I want to give you this opportunity and give you this time before we unveil the table and before we proceed with the communion service. I don't know your heart this morning. I don't know your intention. But I want us all, if you would, to stand to your feet. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of sin. You've never accepted Him as your Savior. We want to invite you right now. Listen, this altar is open and this opportunity is given that you might be saved. If you want to partake, of the broken body and the fruit of the vine, listen, you've got to be saved. Why not get saved now? I don't know your hearts and I don't know your intentions. Miss Shirley, you go ahead when you get ready.